You know, it's about time you had me on this show. It's already the second show, and you haven't had Skeletor. Well, listen, I have things to talk about. I'm thinking about getting some new hired hands.
What's wrong with the ones you've got? I mean,
what's wrong with the ones I have? Are you insane?
Well, Beastman seems fairly competent.
He's a furry boob. When was the last time any single one of them got me the Sword of He-Man so that I could get into Castle Grayskull? It seems so easy. No, I need fresh blood in there. Fresh blood. I'm firing all of them in the morning. No,
but instead of throwing them out, I mean, you're the leader of this operation. Don't you think that really it is your responsibility to...
It is a very simple equation. You get the sword, you open the door, and then you claim the power. It's so simple a six-year-old could do it.
But He-Man is also... He-Man's also pretty powerful, though. He's a...
Man, is he?
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe it's not your henchman's fault. Maybe it's the fact that you're facing up the highest level, the most powerful...
Oh, movie. You think I haven't thought of this? Is that what it is? I haven't thought, He-Man's a big, strong fella. No, buddy, I gotta tell you this. I gotta hire some new people in there. I need to get some 2.0 in there. Some Gen Y. Something, some fresh blood. Fresh.
Welcome to Darren and Nye. My name is Nye, coming to you from Long Beach, SoCal.
I am. I'm Darren. I'm coming in from NorCal, I think. There's just like a cloud of haze all around.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's pretty brutal. I mean, you were just saying that you can't go for a run right now.
Yeah, no, I definitely can't go for a run right now. If you go to airnow.gov, they give you sort of a up-to-date map. You just like punch in your zip code. And like the worst is purple, and it was like purple over the weekend.
Yeah,
and it's been red for like so many days that you're like, we're like ready for like anything else. And today it was orange, which is just like shitty. And we're just very happy today that we had orange. And tonight it's supposed to rain. It's supposed to rain.
Purple.
As opposed to fucking purple, which is like
I've seen some posts on Facebook, friends of mine, jettisoning the city, moving out to find better air pastures, right? So
yeah, we rolled to an orange place over the weekend. We were like, we have to get at least out of purple, so we went someplace where it was like two shades cleaner.
I think it's a activity that most people are finding doing.
Well, yeah, I never spent so much time on airnow.gov. Anybody wants to go there, check out their air quality. You punch in your zip code, you get like little bubbles of like what you got going on around what you're breathing. It's great.
Totally. Yeah. Great. That's great. Tonight, D, despite our fires among us, we are doing an episode, The Economics of 80s Cartoons. We're talking a little bit about 80s cartoons, but also diving deep about how they came about, why they existed, that kind of thing. And I mean, really, I'm just trying to find an excuse for you to talk about Spiral Zone. It's Spiral Zone, right?
Any chance that I can to talk about Earth's Most Powerful Soldiers. Earth's last chance against the spy. Yeah. Zone.
Yeah.
That's an EP that I haven't
yet to record. Yeah. Right. Yep. You heard it here first. And so for more wonderful 80s openings like that, we'll stay tuned. We're going to get deep into it. But first, D, let's get into the news that's important to us.
Yes.
And kicking off a relevant story from Popular Science. So you know this must be legit scientific. The air quality in San Francisco was so bad, being there for a day is like smoking 10 cigarettes.
And I used to smoke a shit ton of cigarettes, so I know what that's like.
Right. And so do you feel that living in San Francisco right now, or Alameda, in the same area, right,
it's all the same you were smoking? Swamp of awful. No, but I mean, like at the same time, you're pulling particulate matter into your lungs. You're pulling things into your lungs that aren't supposed to be in there. And you definitely like got some extra headaches like in the last like week, because it's been here for a while now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good.
This thing has been crazy. Like 70 people killed.
Yeah, over 70, and the missing count keeps going up and down. Yeah, and 1,500 homes at least, right? Yeah. 1,500 something.
So California is usually like the place that people want to escape to, you know, beautiful skies and forests and surfing and whatnot. And we're just
everybody up here, Nye, knows somebody who had to like sort of light out. I mean, if they're still alive, had to light out like in an ultra fast way. Like people, like it. Apparently, it was covering the space of a football field in a second.
Wow.
So, you know, if you can visualize that, you're like, hey, is that smoke over?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're just burnt out.
Is that smoke?
You're done. That's it. That's all the time you got. Like you were bopping around in your life this whole time, telling yourself things and like, oh, I better not run out in front of a bus and just like, I don't know, a cascading wall of flame.
Yeah. It's just fire is
fucking nuts,
fire is no joke. And of course it's all our fault as Californians, according to our president.
The fucking rake memes have been pretty sweet this week.
The rake memes? Just been,
yeah, just like make America rake again. Yeah. Talking about, you know, just all the, everyone's just gone berserk with it. And if it's one thing Facebook is good for, it's at least people's ability to put a rake
It's not even good for that.
It's actually not. Like it sort of still feels cheesy, like you're being analytic-ed, you know, while you're enjoying it.
Our next news story comes from Shaq News. I don't know what Shaq News is, but I found it. This is the best news site that was illustrating what I needed to talk about. Valve's Artifact beta is now live on PC.
Yeah, it was bound to happen. They've been developing this little card shark.
Jump into
for a while.
Valve's Dota themed card game Artifact on PC as the beta is live now. So, Darren, you're as our resident Dota expert.
I have been a Dota man since it was 3.14B
I love Valve. Are they just biting Blizzard and their Hearthstone? What is their plan for this thing?
It's got to be, right? I mean, everybody's doing it. Bethesda did it with their Elder Scrolls card game. Right. All of them have a card game that I think what they want to do is they want to be on your phone. Like that's where you want that card game. Is you want that on your phone because.
I guess.
I mean, I know Hearthstone has like its own like competitions and there's some money involved in some of the high stakes games.
Oh, but, I think it's all about money and being able to put money behind it. I think that there's an awful lot of like because people like Magic the Gathering, when cards were started to be, people would pay a lot of money for decks or this and that. I think it's just a new form of gaming that people are pushing for, and Valve doesn't want to be left behind, and so they need to put their, and of course Dota is
exactly, that's the brand that people recognize, so they have to send that one out. They don't want to make something brand new.
And they also ditched their what is their mini thing called the mini Steam box, the whatever it was.
Yeah, they had a it's the Steam adapter, whatever. It's like
the HDMI.
They haven't ditched it yet. If you go to their site, they're still selling it right now, and it's $250. You can buy it right now. It's the Steam Link.
That's $2. You can buy it for $2.50.
So. And you can just port your whole Steam library onto a TV screen nearby because it's just a one-way router.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's great. I own one. I bought it for $250.
They're going to make that app into like. I mean, that'd be great if it was on Apple TV or something. But they would never support
Apple. That app is on. That app is on Google, and it's on Android phones, and it's on I don't know, one of the other phones. But Apple, yeah, they.
Gabe Newell just hates Apple. I think is just the problem, right? He doesn't want to.
They each of them want so much money from the people who want to post on their site. When you think about it, Apple wants a shit ton for their
right. Valve their wants songs. A shit ton,
and Valve wants a shit ton if you want to put your game up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God! Speaking of people putting their games up there, did you see that there was that just total hate game, which I hate to bring up, but like there's some schmucks did an asset flip on some video game. I can't remember the title of it, and it's good because I don't want to like say the name, but it was basically like. Kill LGBTQ and kill kill all the minorities to save Trump is basically the
the game. And it did well.
No, it just fucking released, and I feel like in a way it's like whoever would spend $5 to like just grab like a shitty asset.
Was that it was people were using I'm gonna talk out of my ass here, so I don't. But Red Dead Redemption 2. There were people playing it to try to like chase down women or something like that.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, this is a new world.
All that bad behavior that people used to do in video games when they weren't online. And now people are like, it's just weird, right? Because I mean, that's sort of a Westworld thing. Like that thing in Red Dead Redemption. Because like,
right.
You just like go in there to like murder everybody. Right. That's
well, Rockstar, that's definitely Rockstar like, has always been very, you know, you can murder people in Grand Theft
right,
Auto.
Grand Theft that. Auto. Like yeah. from the old top down versions that came out in the 90s, that was the whole point. Yeah. It was like you were Yeah.
Well, our next story is now about YouTube, and they didn't even make a big deal about this at all. They just quietly went about and did this. This is from The Verge. YouTube is now streaming free ad-supported feature films. This includes the original Terminator, Legally Blonde, Rocky. So YouTube –
they're doing the Lego movie as a commercial for the Lego movie 2.
Oh, I gotcha. Right. I mean it's – they are trying. So here's the thing. Here's my theory about YouTube is that they are now competing with the Netflix of the world and the Hulus and the whatever, but yeah. they're seen as YouTube. They're seen as this kind of like uploady junky thing. And they're all,
and people are used to seeing ads on YouTube, right? Yeah. I mean, like they're sort of used to seeing them there.
Yeah. I mean,
so they can get away with doing that.
It's a platform that really has a lot of strength, but at the same point, it's also like, will it be able to compete with the high end stuff? I mean, the paid models of the HBOs and things like that, it seems like they're going to be the way to go for the quality stuff. YouTube, I think, is just going to effectively become our regular television.
I think YouTube is, I mean, but I tell you what, there's no finer crack than watching like YouTube Beyblade burst battles with my son. Like he could watch that like all fucking day. And you know, sometimes when I can handle it, I will
well,
get on
there.
There's
a vein for anybody. Like you, like I mean, I found.
Just want to say to anybody out there who's going through that kind of pain with me, OMG EBG. That's some sort of call sign.
Not yet gotten to Beyblades. I'm sure that's going to happen.
Oh, shit, dude. Right. It'll be something. May not be Beyblades. It'll be something.
Our last story of the night is from The Atlantic. I got a couple of things from The Atlantic, actually, this week.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so the next data mine is in your bedroom. Google wants to scan your clothing and listen to you brush your teeth. Welcome home. And the article is basically recognizing the fact that the big
just can't get any creepier.
Oh, no.
They're gonna
be like as you move around, like they're analyzing your sleep, and you know, as you move through the house, they're analyzing how
Google wants the final taboo. That's right, the Google suppository. Just insert and go about your day.
Right. So just this month, insurance company United Healthcare began partnering with employees to offer free Apple Watches for those who can set certain fitness goals. I mean, we are headed towards a big data, you know, over the falls here. Anyways, I thought that was interesting.
Number 37, why aren't you exercising? Number 37, you should walk
your
10
your
sets
your rate
stairs.
Gone up. Right.
Yeah. Your heart rate is up. Hmm.
And my last story that I brought also in The Atlantic is this one came from Neil Gabler. This is a guy who does he has a great book on Walt Disney that I love. He is a successful author. The secret shame of the middle class Americans, nearly half of Americans would have trouble finding $400 to pay for an emergency. I'm one of them, he says. And it's a depressing article because everybody is financially strapped, even if you are – you know, quote unquote successful.
Even if you're making it,
even
right?
Even
if you fought your way into the middle, even if you, you know, like, or upper middle, you know, however people define themselves.
But
right?
I think a lot of this comes from the fact that this is an embarrassment. Like, no one wants to talk about finances.
No, no one does.
So,
no one can.
No one.
You know, because anytime it comes up, everyone just feels bad because, like, I don't know, it just costs everything. Everything costs so much money. I don't know. There's just so many gigs. There's so many jobs that I've worked where like the money, and we talked about this on the other show.
Right.
Is like there's just so many jobs where like the pay has never gone up.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. It's like 10, 15 years, like the same gigs, but the money never goes up. So like the money that was pretty good in 2000,
right.
2018 is like, sort of doesn't, it feels like a third less.
Yeah.
You know, it's just substantial.
And the competition's probably more too, right? I mean, it's
yeah, the competition's harder for less.
So
money.
That's why that justify that they're not late raising the rate, right? I mean, that's the way capitalism works, I suppose. Right.
That's the way it works.
All right. Well, those are the news for us for this week. I mean, it was you know, air quality, Valve, YouTube, yeah. And a bit of data, which is. Enough. I mean, I'm trying so hard to keep us away from being another podcast that talks about Trump.
and what an idiot he is. Because I feel like, in a way, part of me wants to just vote him the fuck out, like, and stop having to think about what he's doing and stop having to worry about, like, his things. I want him, you know what I mean? And I feel like, in a way, to get back to doing that involves just, like, don't fuck, like, you know, try not to bring him up if you can.
Yeah,
I
mean, try to ignore him if you can.
He does some pretty crazy ass dumb shit. Right. So sometimes you get
so we're shit. Focusing on the entertainment and the things that are relevant to us. And so,
yeah.
So that's our news segment. There you go. And we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back and we're going to start talking about the economics of 80s cartoons, where we get to go deep about some of the cartoons that Darren and I both love. And, you know, it's also weird is that we used to fight Vader. I guess we can't fight Vader.
We
can't fight Vader anymore.
I mean, we can fight Vader, but it's just sort of audio, really. I mean, I could just sit over here and be like, yeah, I'm totally fighting Vader. Meanwhile, I'm vaping. I'm just vaping like a son of a bitch. I'm just vaping. Oh, my God, dude. I'm having some peach. I'm having some cucumbers.
Some banana cream.
Banana cream.
We'll trade recipes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll be right back. Of 80s cartoons, which is basically about how does this genre of 80s cartoons come about? Where did it come from? What are some of the key cartoons from this period, and why are they awesome? And, you know, maybe a little bit of geeking, but also basically about why this genre, you know, evolved.
I think it's going to be hard for today's youth to to be able to casually reference, like, the one cartoon that everyone watched when they were a kid, because they just didn't get to do that sentence. We all had like one or two choices. Like, I mean, there's like 8 seasons of the new Voltron on Netflix now, right? Just the new one. So,
right.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how they could keep
back
up.
In the day, you had 3 or 4. I mean, maybe it was kind of like
You had one episode of Voltron a day. That was it.
That was it.
It was all you got.
And you had to wait for them to choose it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I mean, maybe that's worth bringing up, is that, like, just like you were served this cartoon through the television. You had to wait and check the clock and make sure that it was.
Yeah. If you fucked up or, like, walked home that day, you might have missed it.
Right. I mean, it was a big deal for me to watch from 4 to 4:30 the Transformers.
You remember being like bummed? You would, like, if you had a doctor's appointment or something like that, you'd be like, oh my God, I'm not going to see.
Yeah, but I just watched them on loop, right? I mean, I probably watched those episodes, you know, season 4 or 5. Anyways, so how does it come into the 80s, right? So in the 1970s.
Yeah.
Television animation, which was still fairly new and being figured out, and it evolved from movie animation, which was 24 frames per second, into television. Hanna-Barbera was really taking the lead by pumping out all these characters. I mean, the Flintstones was really what Hanna-Barbera had pushed to
that
be.
His big thing. And then into the Jetsons, right? I mean, was it sort of...
The Jetsons were, they were just sort of a derivative.
Straight lateral,
But also all, you know, Scooby-Doo and the... and then Yogi Bear and whatnot. So you have a whole staple of cartoons. And then you also have Japanese anime. I mean, the Japanese have always been prolific on the animation that they pop out. But I think that the 70s animation that was being catered for kids was either Hanna-Barbera or this Japanese anime that was sort of reskinned, or, you know, the Astro Boy of, you know, Astro Boy is probably one of the early ones, like 79.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that's really the scene as we're coming out of the 70s and into the 80s, into these cartoons.
Yeah.
I mean, I really didn't get into, I mean, I watched some Hanna-Barbera, but it was sort of a peripheral to some of the other things that I was focused on.
You know, like the Flintstones were on and the Jetsons were on, and you watched them if they were on, but it wasn't like I never went hunting for the Flintstones or the Jetsons. I watched
the Flintstones recently. They're awful.
I can only imagine. I mean, like, you know, you can go anyone can go on YouTube and type in like the Flintstones and like smoking ads, and it's like fucking Fred Flintstone hawking Pall Malls. Like they used to do like commercials in between the bits of the show, and he'd be talking about the cool, refreshing. Well,
it was a prime time show, and it was like the Honeymooners, right? But
that's sort of that was the take as they were taking.
The thing we should mention about Hanna-Barbera is that they really were about efficiency and being able to create, like they reused backgrounds.
They made content. Yeah, exactly. They used walk cycles and put them in different backgrounds all the time
Yeah. And it was primarily voice actors, right? I mean, how many of the characters
the rules of the day back then, and I think it's sort of carried over today, is that, you know, each person, in order to be considered for the show, I mean, you really only needed to hire three people to really do it. You know, one person was going to be the girl, one person was going to be the bad guy, and one person was going to be the good guy. And you were going to sort of buffer those roles with, you know, there were supporting roles, but like, you know, they would at least three. You had to do at least three voices, you know, each person.
Right.
And for the most part, like, I don't know, you look at you get into the 80s, you look at He-Man, there's like four people who did all the voices there.
Yeah. I mean, so, okay, maybe that's a good segue into it then. Because He-Man, that was one of the first cartoons that kind of was this new form of
right? It was cartoon. A sort of a response to Arnold Schwarzenegger's Conan the Barbarian. They made Conan the Barbarian dolls, and then sort of at the last second, they were like, "This is fucking dark."
But this is an action figure company, right? I mean, this is not an animation company. So, the difference between
they made the action figure before they made any of the cartoons.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So the point is that this new kind of content came about because they were trying to sell a product as opposed to like, I'm going to try to tell a story. And so, I mean, is He-Man really the first one? I mean, that was what, 82, I think it was. I mean, I have to look.
Yeah, it's like 82, 83. You know, at the same time, you know, if you want to go GoBots Transformers, it's like the GoBots got like a 6 month head start on the Transformers.
Right.
And then, you know, the Transformers showed up and, once again, Takara Tomy, man, he fucking like lays waste to all the competition with his super awesome toys.
Okay, so you have these new cartoons that are coming onto the scene that are driven by action figures new toys, new markets. So you're kind of moving away from these Japanese anime cartoons into these Hanna-Barbera cartoons into these action figure driven things. But also they're like developing like superhero shows, right? The Super Friends in the late 70s.
Yeah, and you know, Hanna-Barbera's got, they've got Thundar, they've got Black Star, they've got, they punched out their own superheroes, but they were.
That was like late 70s still, right? I mean, that was not.
Yeah, it was late 70s, and you're sort of creeping into the 80s with each of those guys. But yeah, like they're all trying to get into the superhero. They're all trying to sell these things. Black Star was a comic strip.
Yeah, so let's do some talk about like what do you think are the quintessential cartoons here that propagated into the Saturday morning, into the afternoon slots, and then maybe we can kind of like talk about why they are, you know, sort of specific to the 80s cartoons as a genre and why it works.
Well, I think you sort of nailed it because you had to have, you know, like a plastic product arm of your thing. It was like you weren't going to be able to do this just selling a TV show. That's not why you did it. The TV show, I mean, in those couple of documentaries that are on Netflix about He-Man, like,
right. So the first one you're talking about is The Power of Grayskull, which is the history of Mattel's definitive action figure toy line, which is He-Man. And that was a document. Is it on Netflix? I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It was fun. It's real. It's, you know, just
I think
it
fell off. I think it fell off. Like the first, actually, if you're going to want to watch a documentary,
watch the Toys That Made Us.
The Toys That Made Us.
For the first season, they have they put all the information that's fun, like all of the bickering, like the toy designers, they're all there.
Right. And I felt like the power of Grayskull, the way that they approached it is that they started with the action figure and then they did the cartoon. And the last act, they did the movie. And no one cares about the movie.
No.
I mean, the movie was awful. And
no, it was terrible. It was a canon film that ran out of a budget like in the last – like the last.
And I also don't – I don't care about Frank Langella talking about why Skeletor is a great character.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, no, that's – nobody needs to talk about an actor like trying to get a gig. Yeah.
But the –
Speaking of, Netflix dropped a fucking She-Ra season today. Netflix dropped like She-Ra and the Princesses of Power. She's like, it's again.
The old one or the new
one? No, the new one. No, they're the brand new, like 2 day. They dropped She-Ra and the Princess of Power. Maybe it was
yesterday. Why are they doing that? I mean.
You know, I feel like in a way they're just going after brand recognition.
Yeah.
Like, and then it's smart brand recognition because everyone wants like female driven protagonists, like they want like a female in the driving seat, which is great because, you know, like honestly, just new stories.
Yeah.
But that plus like brand recognition, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Netflix doesn't even need other shows anymore. They make enough.
Yeah. They just, well, I mean, I think that they just, they're throwing everything they can at the wall at this particular point. Right. I mean,
that's the joke from South Park is South Park is like, you know, they answer the phone. They're like, hey, you've reached Netflix. You are greenlit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish.
Yeah. I wish it was that simple.
So Dee, what are some shows that you think are like quintessential to you from the '80s and his cartoon?
You've got it's dudes who are wearing fur diapers and they're carrying swords. I'm talking Thundar, He-Man, Black Star.
But you also had some great heroes too. I mean, the Incredible Hulk had a show, Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends had a show.
Super Friends. I love the Super Friends, you know, like it has all of the, you know, any cartoon also that, you know, just as a voiceover actor aside, any show that has Casey Kasem in it, which is basically all of them, mm-hmm. you know, like at some point or what's Megatron's voice? He's also the voice of Frank Welker Welker.
Yeah. Frank Welker is sort of a staple. Also, wasn't there like, there was a whole genre of like, you know, I guess it's like Smurfs,
the Smurfs. Oh, but the Gummy Bears, the New Adventures of the Gummy Bears. That's a fucking good show. I watched
that was later. That was in the 80s. That was like that was Disney when Disney came onto the scene and they
was that Disney? Did Disney do that?
But I mean,
yeah, it was like towards the end of the 80s. It was great.
It was like Shirt Tales or like the Snorks.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, the Snorks and the Shmoo. Remember the Shmoo?
Oh, the Shmoo. Right. I mean that was part of. The Hanna-Barbera world or whatever, right? I mean,
yeah, but so. If you look back, I bet you the Shmoo is voiced by Frank Welker.
Probably.
Because he does any voice that's he does right. All of those fucking every right. one of those fucking voices.
So as Saturday morning became stacked with these programs, right, that were like the Care Bears and
The Care Bears,
like the Muppet Babies or whatever.
Yeah, the Muppet Babies, they were so great.
But it seemed like the afternoons, the Monday through Friday afternoons, were being stacked with
tougher cartoons. Voltron, Spiral Zone, the G1 Transformers, Robotech. If you were, you know, if you got lucky.
Yeah, I mean, or Mask, or you know.
Oh my God, dude, Mask! Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Mask was an afternoon show. It was not a Saturday morning cartoon,
right? So,
which you would think with a T-Bop element, you could easily lace in at like 9:30 in the morning on a Saturday when you're like right in the middle of your sugar buzz.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so. So you had these like kind of crazy, you know, afternoon shows, and then you had these Saturday morning shows. And so like we were consuming these, but the in between, the way that they were making money was by selling us commercial products for basically the stuff that we were watching, right? We were watching right. And then they were selling us toys and
action play sets.
Action play sets, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what was, you know, when you think back on this, what are some of the things that you remember about this time period?
Well, I remember, you know, like, so the end of the 80s for me, and maybe for you, I think age wise, we're about in a similar position. Like, I started driving like in 1989. So like this, there's a sweet spot for cartoons, like, you know, in the year like 1984, 85, like,
yeah,
those are prime Transformer, Voltron, Thundercats, all of the hits, all of the name brand cartoons,
right,
happened for me then.
Right.
And then after that, they became guilty pleasure. So my knowledge goes.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, they're all older. I'm the youngest.
They're all older, yeah. Yeah. See, I have a younger sibling. And so while I didn't really give a crap about some of these shows, I got reintroduced with things like, so Mask was a little bit later.
Your bro's like a real like G1 guy. Like, he knows his Transformer stuff.
He does, right? But also the big thing in my house was DuckTales.
So
the Disney Afternoon, the thing about the Disney Afternoon, and this is one of the points that I wanted to make.
I took a voiceover class with Terry McGovern, the voice of Launchpad McQuack.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great show, but the thing that was really interesting was that Disney was trying to escape the kind of like downward descent of the afternoon content. And so what they did was
it's the creep until Jeopardy / Wheel of Fortune that they were trying to.
Yeah. So they bumped the quality of the show and they made a higher quality show, but they understood that they could make money back from syndication dollars. And so they were able to pump out a lot of higher quality episodes. I mean, it was still produced in Korea or whatever, but they were able to make, you know, DuckTales and Tailspin and what was it?
Darkwing Duck.
That's all right. That stuff. And then I think it was Gummy Bears, which was a Saturday morning show.
It was definitely a Saturday morning show. All that led up into what was then the WWF. Like, by around 11 o'clock, the switch happened and you were watching wrestling. Like, you weren't watching cartoons anymore.
Yeah.
There might be like the NBC Story Hour might sort of wrap you out. And then the next thing that was coming on was Mean Gene Okerlund with,
But it wasn't there a WWF cartoon that kind of like,
yeah, Rock and Wrestling, pulled you in. And that's sort of would also be a good segue. I don't know. In a way, I sort of, again, I'm going to just drag this back around and like poke my thumb in the eye of the youth of today. But, I feel bad. 'Cause like they have so many choices that they don't have like shared experiences. Like I can go into a bar, and if it's like my age,
yeah,
I could just start talking about Saturday mornings, and everybody knows.
Everyone knows their favorite cartoon, right? They'll probably talk about the episode.
Talk about their routine, what their cereal was. We can all laugh about.
I get regular text messages from people who are like buying an Optimus Prime action figure or something like that. So the nostalgic market of it is huge. I mean,
which one of those documentaries on Netflix was talking about sort of the that sort of bespoke action figure thing where like people are making $150 action figures that sort of.
Well, at the end of the He-Man one.
Yeah, at the end of the He-Man
The Power of Grayskull, they were talking about that there's like super elite action figure makers now.
Yeah, only throw their shit at the cons.
Yeah, the cons, and people are dropping, you know, thousands of dollars so they can have this like, you know, really,
really well molded and painted, you know, bits of plastic.
Exactly. I mean, it's amazing, but it's because we have such affinity for this. You're right. I mean, right now kids are watching YouTube channels, right, about like opening.
There's just no fucking way that you could pinpoint two kids, and unless they're like trying to be friends, they wouldn't be watching the same thing. You can just follow, you know, we all know the click holes, man. They destroyed our you know, especially our generation, like 25 to 35, when we were just like not having children. You could just do 8 hours of clicking, you know, you just like follow your way through like a YouTube click hole.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. But I mean, there was a lot of content that came through, and I think it really evolved. I mean, what do you think changed it? I think in one of the things is in the 90s, like Cartoon Network decided to.
Yeah, they branched out. Cartoon Network really made it, go for it.
And they put real creators in there, like Craig McCracken, into the Powerpuff and things like that. And
I think the philosophy sort of started with Powerpuff, and then Aqua Teen. I remember Aqua Teen in a few early episodes referenced the same mall that Powerpuff, Powerpuff girls go to.
Right. I think the philosophy changed for why do we make cartoons. It's not it wasn't for selling. I mean, it's always about selling stuff, of course, right? It's about advertising revenue. But I think that there was a real explosion of animated series in the 80s. Mm. You know, the sort of methodologies had been figured out to be able to create cheap content. The advertising deals, the tie-ins with the merchandise, all that stuff has sort of been figured out. And then the 90s, they were still pumping out kids' toys, but the content seemed like it jumped a different level, and it kind of changed and didn't have the same sort of
feel. Don't you feel like the 90s sort of had this, like, let's try and make the same money that we made with these fresh franchises? And like in the 90s, it was all about taking, you know, the Star Wars action figures, the He-Man action figures, the Transformers.
And redoing them.
And G.I. Joe, right? And just like sort of painting them in sort of like more aggressive colors, or just like giving them all jetpacks. Like they ran out of shit.
Isn't that the movie industry doing now, right? I mean, they're just spinning out the same shit over and over again, right?
I mean, it's sort of, you know, since we're sort of going meta with this, it's like once you pull back from the conclusion of Avengers 4, right? Now that you have you'll have sort of a loop of Marvel movies. Like, will the next loop be as exciting? Like, will we all be as jazzed? I hope so, because like the film industry is sort of counting on it, I think, in a way. Like, these are the movies that are like, that make what corporations make. These are big movies.
Yeah, I think this is a death knell for what's happening in that realm. So Dee, before we wrap up, what are some of the ones that stand out for you in these animated television series of the 80s that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just like the first 30 or however, like the first season of the Transformers. I mean, you've got Peter Cullen in there, who wanted to be a legit stage actor, wanted to be on camera guy, wanted to be like right there in the front, wanted to be a movie star.
Yeah.
And like, he has chops and pipes, and he is throwing it all out there in his, like, when he's playing Optimus Prime and his Ironhide and like all the extra robots that he plays. But it's like, it's Big Papa Prime that, like, when they fucking killed him in the movie, like they all just were like, let's just do this. Let's just do this because we got a whole new line of shit. And they forgot that everybody was like, that's my fucking dad, dude. You don't kill Big Papa Prime.
Yeah.
And I mean, they had to figure it out. It took them a long time to do it, but they brought it.
We're going to go deeper in the Transformers at some point. Certainly, yeah. We're going to bitch about it.
So the Transformers for sure. The cat Voltron, not the 15 ship or 7.
Who likes the 15 ship? I mean,
I feel like the 15 ship should get some love at some point. I mean, in a way, maybe the 15 ship one is important because the morning I woke up and it wasn't the cat Voltron and it was the 15 ship. I remember that day. Right. I mean, so that's important, but I mean, I don't know, like, again, since it's like important, right? Like watching cartoons. Yeah. But yeah. And I'd say after that, I mean, like, those are two really big things.
Did you watch the Mutant Turtles? I was too late.
Yeah. But I remember all of, like, you know, just all of the, and I want to go in on Hanna-Barbera on this, like, you know, like the robotic stooges and like, the wacky races, Wheelie and the Chopper Bunch, like the fucking, the talking car that was like, hey boss, right, like that,
right,
that the,
right,
the speed buggy, I think it was name was
speed buggy.
All of those are sort of like, especially the races where they put all of the, Hanna-Barbera cartoons,
yeah,
you know, to try to race, and like, there would be different winners. Sometimes the bad guys would win.
Yeah.
Those were fun. That's sort of it for me. Those are like the big cartoons of the 80s.
Yeah. And then by the end of the 80s, we had started to really, the whole world had changed. I mean, these are some cartoons from the late 80s and into the early 90s. You're talking about, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, the Legend of Zelda, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Oh my
X-Men.
God, dude. The Super Mario Super Show with Captain Lou Albano in it. Yeah.
But I mean, I think that there had already been an evolution, right? You're now moving into like Dragon Ball Z and Pokemon worlds as opposed to
I mean, and as opposed to Power Rangers, which is an animation, it's, you know, but it sort of.
So as quickly as and exciting as this world had developed, it kind of went away.
Yeah.
So
which also just makes it more rare.
Yeah. And we'll list some of these shows on our show notes, and we're going to list the documentaries we talked about and everything else that we chatted about in this episode. We're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up with a dadvice, and we're going to call it out. All right, we'll be right back. So what are you going to be doing for your Thanksgiving then?
Actually, what's great is that we're not doing much. Like, I'm not doing a fucking bird. We're not doing a bird. We're going to get a leg of lamb, just red meat and a grill.
You guys are going to do it. Then you're going to do it at home.
It at home. We got her folks are coming over and like a couple other people, and that is, it's chill. And it's just going to be us and the kids and, bit of booze. We're going to have them over. We're going to have them early. We're going to do like a Midwest fucking Thanksgiving where it's like everyone eats at 2 and then you go home. You know?
Yeah.
What do you guys got going on?
We're sticking around the area. I mean, we can't swing going anywhere.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, it's the hardest thing to get it up for. It's like, you're going to drive all the way, fly all the way, wherever you're going to go for one meal. And then you got to get the fuck back as fast.
Well, usually Thanksgiving back at home was a lot of fun. I mean, and we would do the same kind of thing. We would have a football game in the morning and then we would eat in the afternoon and everyone would be like full and tanked by the evening. And so you pass out by, 8:30 at night, or if you're lucky, if you get a second wind, maybe you watch a movie or something. But, tonight we're going to go up to some friends, who are, in Eagle Rock, have, their Thanksgiving there and then come back. Of course, we got to put the kids in the car for an hour and then back. So, that will be a day, but, I think it's important to try to celebrate, especially now. I mean, the way the world is.
I mean, we have, we have warm beds. We have places we're at. We have food we can go buy.
I keep coming back to that. There's like 68 million refugees in the world. And so you just kind of have to be like, okay, look, things are good. You have a hot meal. It's a little bit smoky, but we're doing okay.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, faux show, dude.
Well, have a happy Thanksgiving.
As well to you, my friend.
So let's do a quick dadvice to finish off our show tonight.
Yeah, what would we do for our audio only dadvice?
Well, I thought maybe we could talk about this article that came up, and my wife has certainly been concerned about it as well. This is from CNN, is what parents should know about the huge epidemic of vaping. This is a huge problem for anybody who is a teenager. And so, I mean, we have young kids at this point who are not exposed to it, but it's going to be something that is going to expose them very, very quickly. So what's your take on this?
I read an article on a kid who was like sort of in the middle of like, it was like 17, 18, 19, like sort of 20, like he felt like sort of started it in high school and finished into college. And he managed to kick it. He kicked it for like a month or two by the writing of the article.
Right.
And I gotta say,
it sort of started, I feel like it started easier for him than it was to smoke cigarettes, because I used to smoke like a pack and a half a day every day for like 15 years.
Yeah.
I quit a long time ago, but like, so, I mean, I know the sort of the rhythm and the sort of control of smoking. Right. And,
but this guy
built it. Yeah. You can't get
I mean,
caught.
You smelled like cigarettes, right? Yeah, I mean, he smelled like banana cream or you know, raspberry sherbet.
But it also hit him much quicker, like very quickly. That guy, if you read the article, I can't remember the name of the article, but like just the nature of addiction because of the delivery system, because of it's a vapor.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like he has one hit. He didn't like get sick. He didn't like whatever. He just got like a head rush from nicotine. And like,
well, it says that it is increased 80% amongst high schoolers and 50% amongst middle schoolers. And I think it was middle schoolers. I think it's designed basically to try to, I mean, this is,
you look at the flavors. It's like fucking bubblegum and. Just,
so Juul is the company that is really the
Juul's the one that's got pretty much all of the like I got like 80% of the business.
Share. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, like they're sort of, it looks like a USB drive so you can fool your parents. It's all built on deception. Like they built the whole fucking thing from deception.
But it's become the way
plausible, you know, like, that they can back off of it and not be like, hey, don't worry about
the
us.
The way you grab like a Kleenex as opposed to a tissue, like people are calling it Juul, right? I mean, it's got a major. Yeah.
People like the kid talks about in the article, they're Juuling. They're going to go Juul.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people use it as a verb. I mean, and by people, I mean, you know, kids, and it disrupts their head. You know, like the nature of getting your brain to be addicted to something. And it's like you're in the middle of your homework, you're in the middle of thinking your thoughts, you're in the middle of whatever. All of a sudden, that voice is in your head, like hit that Juul. I guess for me, it was like go outside and burn one. But I mean, it's the same. It's the same reaction. Yeah,
it's the same trigger. So with that in mind, what do you mean? How do we angle our kids to not
that
be in a position?
That is a tough one. That is a tough one for dadvice because seriously, like how, I mean, at this point, like my kid's six, I would think that like the kid who wrote this article, his first reaction was, at first I didn't think it was any big deal. That is like any kid's reaction going into it. Because you don't like take a hit off of a cigarette and then like cough your lungs out and throw up and like leave it alone for months.
No,
like,
you get a taste
instantly,
of like
just instantly
or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. And the nicotine hit is pretty strong, right? I mean,
I think a gram. I think they sell the oil stuff by.
But what
gram,
do we do about it? Like, how do we? I mean, do we just we straight up say, hey, look, man, this is not a good thing you do. I know it.
I hope everyone develops some sort of coping method with their kid. With me, I have, you know, we have the whole like, you know, this is our house. We talk about, you know, you tell me everything. We don't keep secrets from each other. And I am desperate to sort of make that, like, I want to be the backstop. I want to hear all of the stuff. Like if there's anything going on, I want to hear it. And
did your folks smoke? Your dad smoked, right?
My dad smoked. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember stealing his cigarettes. That's how I started. It was just stealing a pack of Marlboro Reds and.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it really has to be, you know, we have to be examples and just say, look, this is not something you should be doing, and be.
I don't think it's like you can't smoke weed or anything like that, or like vape your weed or whatever. I think you just have to like you have to be careful. Like at a certain point, your kid's gonna have questions about it, and you're gonna need to be able to talk to them about, you know, like I don't know. In a way, it's almost like, you know, if you get high every once in a while, that's just to me that's like you're gonna drink beer or vodka or whatever. But if you're gonna like hit this fucking thing that's going to like be in your pockets all week long, like you're going to have it on you, you're going to charge it, you're going to think about it, you're going to spend 30 or 40 bucks a week, you know.
And then you're going to get online and you're going to share recipes for like banana.
Right. Like that's different, you know, like that's fucking nuts. And like, you don't want to be a rat for like the tobacco industry. You don't want to be the person who's hitting the bottle. So I think, yeah, I think probably a part of it has got to be, you know, how you exercise, you know, how your kid sees you. Like if, you know, I try to do it with my phone, dude. I'm trying to put my phone away because I'm like, dude, I'm addicted to my fucking phone.
Yeah. All the time. Yeah. I mean, I think this extends to everything, whether it's video games or phones
just
or
that sort of behavior where like you're. Behavior, yeah. And I think there's something to that. I don't think it's all of it. And I think, and again, I think, you know, not being passive around your kids, just asking them a shit ton of questions, letting them know that like you're in their shit. You want to know what's going on in their lives. And like, you will ask and pester until they give up the goods on whatever it is you want to know, you know? And I think for you and me right now, we got a couple more years where it's like easy street because they're kids and they still think we're great. And
but then, you know, then the social pressures are going to start.
Yep.
Oh, and
that's, yay. That's the part that I'm truly worried about.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks very much for joining us. So next week, Dee, we're going to be doing, I think, Fantastical Weapons. We're going to go back and do maybe the history of
I love it. I love Fantastical Weapons. I can't wait to talk endlessly about Deckard's pistol.
Fantastic. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. Please like and subscribe us. You can follow us at DarrenAndNine.com. And our site is up. And great. And we will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.
Goodbye. Bye, all y'all.